knowledge and expertise in musical tradition. So it was a perfect way to slide us across time and across continents.
Mm-hmm. And as we sort of talk about time travel, I know I want to be aware of the time we're at right now. I am just thinking about our listeners again and asking folks, if you are interested in tickets to Say It, Sing It, Play It in Cherokee, which is different from Through the Narrows, folks can call in and, you know, I guess it would be the first person to call in at 341-0980 to call in and ask for those tickets to this weekend's performance. And sort of... it might be folks' first time getting familiarized with puppetry, but want to make sure we offer that again. That's 612-341-0980. And the shows are going to be at?
The Mill City Museum at 11:30 and 1:30.
Perfect. Thank you
for that. On Saturday.
So I want to talk a little bit just about this piece I'm going to set up before we go to the break. Really happy to be able to produce a piece for our miniculture program about Say It, Sing It, Play It in Cherokee. We're going to have some music here from Greg in a minute, but this story sort of brings us back to the music that was done for this production, Say It, Sing It, Play It in Cherokee. And you're going to hear a little bit about hear a little bit of that music in the background and hear Chris and Sherry talk about their work with that production. And when we come back from the break, we're going to, ask Greg to play some music for us. So this is this sort of short behind-the-scenes look at this first production that we learned about here on Sanctuary.
Say It, Sing It, Play It in Cherokee is a musical storytelling adventure of a turtle who has discovered that his grandmother has slipped and gone upside down.
I know. Some of you don't think I look like a turtle exactly.
Osio Nigata Chris Dagwadoa Ale Galielega Chichalagi. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris, and I'm very grateful to be Cherokee.
I come from a long and distinguished line of turtles.
This project called Say It, Sing It, Play It is the process of a little over, or just about a year of me trying to develop a show that would kind of tie together some of the stories of my family's history and help me ground myself a little bit more in my Cherokee history. I grew up outside of the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma, and we would come to visit in Tahlequah and in Oklahoma, the seat of the Cherokee Nation. I would visit my grandparents who lived there pretty regularly, but I really removed from the culture of Cherokee. The last 3 to 4 years, I've been trying to learn, as an outsider, I've been trying to learn the language and trying to reconnect.
They call me Doxy, Noxy Doxy, Star Turtle. Now, I know that I can help Grandmother Chalagi because she has helped me so many times in the past.
I got this grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to... Part of my intention with the grant was to be able to spend time with my mother, who really passionately has researched our genealogy. And shortly after I got the grant, my mother passed away pretty suddenly. And so I had to kind of reorient myself of what am I going to do now? A really interesting thing happened to me in the moment that my mother passed. I was with her, and I felt a big shift in me. But one of the things I'm realizing is that her obsession with genealogy and with Cherokee history I think, was coming from her ancestors who were all around her and surrounding her for the last 10 to 20 years. And in that moment, I felt the attention of the ancestors shift from her onto me.
I can count to three in Cherokee, Sagwoob, Tali, Joee.
So when you're dealing with a language that is endangered, sometimes just hearing it and hearing the basic sounds is a step. And the idea is that turtles take small, slow, steady steps and keep moving forward. And that's just seemed like a really useful metaphor for me when thinking about learning a language, especially living in Minnesota where there's extremely even fewer Cherokee speakers. If I lived in Oklahoma, there might be a few around, but in Minnesota, there's very, very, very few. So it has to be slow steps.
Everybody panic! Grandmother down! It's a state of emergency! Where do we run? Where do we hide?
My name is Sherry Aronson, and I'm helping to produce this Say It, Sing It, Play It. And I am also in the role of Jizdu Webbit.
And if she doesn't get up, we are doomed! Ixnay!
The character that I'm playing is a little is complex because Jizdu is the name of the rabbit character in the trickster tales from the Cherokee culture. For me, I enjoy being the comic foil.
How can we help Grandmother Chalagi save a whole language? We're so little and insignificant!
Jizdu. Hey, Jizdu, it's gonna be okay. All alone, she lay for days in a state of emergency. If we don't help her, she might die. Our grandmother Chalagi. Sometimes the world turns upside down in hopeless tragedy.
If the turtle's right side up at the end of the story, then that means that the language is safe and that everything is fine now. And that's not the case, and that's not going to be the case for a long time. And so I didn't want to make that the end of the show because I didn't, you know, it just doesn't feel right. I want people to leave it with this sense of urgency or the sense that we still need to pay attention to this. And that it's much more than just Cherokee language. There's many indigenous languages that are endangered right now, and something that we have to pay attention to everywhere we are.
So here we go now, let's get ready, everybody roll up your sleeves. We're gonna turn that turtle around, we're gonna learn Chalagi. Oh, Chalagi, oh, oh, Chalagi, oh.
Alors, pour la santé de notre communauté, remplissez le recensement de 2020. Un décompte précis de notre communauté a une incidence sur le financement public de nos écoles, de nos routes et bien sûr de nos centres de santé. Les informations que vous fournissez resteront confidentielles.
Façonnez votre avenir. Commencez ici à 2020census.gov, payé par le Bureau de recensement des États-Unis.
I think we can all agree that good health is precious. So for the health of our community, complete the 2020 census. A precise count of our community has an impact on public funding of our schools, our roads, and of course our health centers. The information you provide will remain confidential. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by the United States Census Bureau.
And we're back here on Sanctuary, Arts and Activism, Interviews and Conversations about Creative Activism. I'm your host, Melissa Olson, and we are live today in studio here at KFAI, and I am with the good folks from Z Puppets, and we are talking about past productions and a new production by Z Puppets called Through the Narrows. We're also giving away some tickets this hour, so if people are so interested, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to talk now about this this new production called Through the Narrows. And again, I'm joined by Greg Haragus, Sherry Aronson, and Chris Griffith. I wanted to start out by asking about the two characters that are at the heart of Through the Narrows. Sherry, would you talk a little bit about, again, these two characters? And I think we're going to ask Greg to share with us some music.
Sure. And I'll talk about my character, who's a 3,500-year-old woman, whose name is Ellie. And she came up out of thinking about the Passover story, the story that Jews who celebrate Passover every year tell the story of how the Jews made it out of Egypt. And when people think of that story, the most common image they have is Moses raising his arms to the sky in the Red Sea parting of a certain generation. What's his name there in the Ten Commandments?
Charlton Heston.
Right. Yeah, that's what people think of. That's what they see. Different generations have that Disney animated version, and then there's another version in between. But what I was really interested in is what are the stories that aren't being told when we tell that story year after year? A story that I had heard in adulthood was the story of Nashon, who, when Moses and his followers made it to the Red Sea with the Egyptians hot on their trail, that when Moses said the water shall part, these people who were desperate to get away from the Egyptians were facing this tumultuous sea, and it wasn't parting. And Nashon is reportedly the one who stepped forward first with faith that the waters would part. And I was fascinated by that story, especially learning it, later in my adulthood, having heard the Passover story every year and not heard that story. And then I thought, well, whose story do we hear even less than Nashon's? And I started thinking about a sister for him. And then after I started working on this character of Ellie, I did some research and found, hey, he had a sister. And she ended up marrying Moses' brother after they got to the other side of the Red Sea. So that was where she came up out of. And I just really love the idea of a 3,500-year-old woman.
I was going to ask, how does it feel to play a 3,500-year-old woman?
Well, I love it because I've been around a lot of elders in caring for my own mother. And it's really an experience of finding out the amazing things that they've done in their lives, and no one is paying any attention. And so I feel like a 3,500-year-old woman could be walking around and escape everyone's notice because no one pays attention to the elderly. Mm-hmm. And so I love bringing her story forth.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about sort of the theme, the musical theme then, around this character, Ellie. And Greg, you've got guitar at the ready. Can you tell us a little bit about that theme?
Yeah. Ellie's theme is actually played on bouzouki, and we're going to save it for a little bit later. But
okay.
It's based on a klezmer tune that I learned long ago from a friend of mine and adapted for this. And Sherry can talk a little bit more about the nagun and what that's all about.
Yeah, it's an improvisational tradition in Jewish music, and it's in some ways has a similarity to scat singing. So you're singing in terms of sounds and rhythms without words, but I think that's a real simplification of it, since and I'm not a Hebrew speaker, but the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew alphabet, each letter has meaning. So each sound has meaning, is charged with meaning. So I'm going more from almost like a phonetic perspective of improvising sound, but it's songs of great passion, both rejoicing and despair. And if you think of Fiddler on the Roof in If I Were a Rich Man, when... yes. So, yeah, exactly.